Okay, please stand. Put yourself in the capable hands of God. If you're not there already, open your Bibles. We'll read the scriptures before Pastor Shibeli begins to preach. We're in Ephesians chapter 2. The first five verses of that chapter we'll read. Right, Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, thank you. Father, thank you. We are grateful for the gift of your Spirit that sealed us and speaks to our hearts through the pages of the scriptures. We thank you for this pulpit. We thank you for our pastor, Pastor Schaller, his ministry overseas this morning in Finland, also in Poland this week. Think of Pastor Love and his ministry in Russia. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, Pastor Shibeli, who will depart for Africa this coming week and for the ministry there across the world. Thank you, Lord, for the world outreach of our Greater Grace ministry. We thank you for it this morning, for these words, for the powerful message, Lord. We thank you that we've been saved out of this, that we no longer live under the prince of this world, but we live unto the Prince of Peace. We thank you, Lord, for the scriptures, for the way they speak to us, for the comfort they give. Thank you, Lord, for a ministry, for every family represented here, Lord Jesus, for a great ministry of healing, transformation, renewal of our minds, Lord Jesus. Open our hearts, Lord. Freely, Lord. Freely you give to us, Lord. Freely we receive, Lord. Thank you, Lord, so much, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your hand upon us, Lord. Bless Pastor Shibeli now. Anoint his message right now and the baptism this morning, Lord. Thank you so much for it all. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. Are we not in the capable hands of God? Isn't that awesome? Thank you. Is it new song, right? New song? New song. Okay. If you could put those verses up for me again from Ephesians 2. Verses 1 through 3 to 1. Can you get 2, 2, and 2, 3 there? If not, don't worry about it. This is, it's in front of me too. Wow, I can see that. I can't see that. That's too far away. I need new glasses. I've been telling my wife, my eyes. So, some people say too many malaria pills, chloroquine. I say whatever. I'd rather have, you don't know what malaria is like. It's amazing. But in Ephesians chapter 2, as Paul is addressing the church of Ephesus, and you can see the planting of the church in Acts chapter 19 and 20, and you can see actually what he was facing. He was in a very powerful city that was controlled by people shouting for 2 hours and worshiping Diana of the Ephesians, whose statue, they say, fell from Jupiter to earth. And so he goes into the midst of that city, and he begins to preach the gospel, which is amazing. And without fear, there's all kinds of riots going on. There's a silversmith riot. They're upset with Paul, because if people get converted to Christianity, they lose their business of making statues of Diana, which people are buying. And maybe we can even relate that to things that happen nowadays, you know. And so he's writing a letter to the church of Ephesus, which was key because it would be seven churches that would be involved with this work in Ephesus, the seven churches of Asia, as you read in Revelation chapter 1 and chapter 2. And he says something to them, and it's good news, but it's bad news. It tells us who we are outside of Christ. I think we don't like to hear it, but it's in the Bible. Are you with me? It's in the Bible, and it says, you has he quickened, he's made alive, the word quickened, the funny English word, you has he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. And that's interesting to understand, because it means not only were you dead in sin, which is falling short of God's glory and missing the mark, but you are dead in trespasses and sins. Trespasses is a willful walking over the line. I willfully do this knowing it's wrong. I do it willfully. And he says, I am a person that was dead in trespasses and sins. Then it says in the next verse, there we go, where in time past, and I'm so glad it's a new year, there's a lot of time past here in this Ephesians 2, where in time past you walked or you ordered your life according to the course of this world. And it means that my life was based upon how this world lives. And the world is alien from and in opposition to God. That's the word cosmos. It's alien from the life of God and opposed to it. If you think the world is your friend, you haven't read James 4:4. The friend of the world is the enemy of God. It's not my friend. No matter how nice it looks on the outside, no matter how cute it is and how interesting its sayings are and how nice it sounds and how good it sounds, it's not my friend, okay? So they walked according to the course of this world. Then another thing, the next point, according to the prince of the power of the air. That speaks of the devil, Satan himself. And if you believe your Bible, how many of you believe your Bible? Well, your Bible talks about, that wasn't many hands, okay. Hello. You believe in the Bible. We don't believe in man. We believe in the Word of God. And it says the prince of the power of the air, that he's the god of this world, small g, allowed by God to rule over it, so that here we are in the midst of it. But the world system is not of God, and it is not sourced in God, and that is important to know. So it talks about according to the prince of the power of the air. This is Satan himself. You can see him as an enemy right from the beginning in Genesis chapter 3, right through the scriptures, all the way to the end to Revelation chapter 12. And this is important. Some people say, I don't believe in that kind of stuff. And you know, Satan has a great way of portraying himself with horns, you know, and a tail and all that nonsense, you know. And that's just to keep people occupied with something other than he is. He blinds people's minds. Then it says the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. This translates demon spirits. It's a demonic spirit that works in the children of disobedience. Now, if your kids are disobedient today, don't try to get demons out of them, all right? I mean, you know, some people take these things a little too far sometimes, you know. They go too far with it. Now, the next verse says what? It says, among whom also we all had our conversation in what? Times past in the lusts of the flesh, and lust means what my mind is set on, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. So six things, dead in trespasses and sins, walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirits that work in children of disobedience, the lusts of the flesh, and by nature, my old sin nature, I wasn't born Mr. Wonderful. Okay, we come out of the womb speaking lies. Children are sinners. They're under the blood, but we're born in sin. By nature, children of what? Wrath. That's pretty horrifying news. Those three verses, if that chapter was to end there, we're in trouble. But thank God it doesn't end there. Amen? Amen. Then it says, yay God. Yay God. Yeah. Yes, God is what she really means. Yes, God. Yay, yes, it's okay. It's all the same. But I love these next two words. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us with, by grace are you saved. And he begins to talk about a transition that takes place. The word but God deitheos means a change has happened. You've been changed? Are you here? Have you been changed? Huh? Have you been changed? When you got saved, did you get changed? Hmm? But God, something has happened. A transition, a movement, a change. And when I got saved, I changed. I was delivered from 14 years of narcotics in 1 second. It was a 1 second deliverance. Are you listening? It wasn't a process. It wasn't a program. I'm not against those things. But it was a change that took place. A great change. But God. And so often, because of the way I live and the way we live as individuals, we look at all kinds of things that are happening in our life and circumstances and problems and situations, and we can find ourselves overwhelmed by them. Rather than just believing two words, but God. But God. A change can take place. But God. Now, you see this, Jonathan. See this man here? Just stand up for a minute. Don't move, just stand. Okay. Now, Jonathan, years ago, heard a tape, a message preached from this pulpit, something preached by Greater Grace. He was in a village in Cameroon. He heard the message. He walked from Cameroon to North Africa. I think about 6 months. About a year. He walked for 1 year. Then he made his way to Europe, got on a boat, am I right? Got on a boat and came across and thought he was landing in America, landed in the islands. Then he made his way from the islands to here, walked in those doors one day, and Pastor Stevens gave him a 4-year scholarship to go to Bible school. Would you say, but God? Huh? Thank you. You can sit down. But God! That's an unusual testimony. Can you imagine walking for like a year? Some people can't walk from one end of the chapel to the other. I mean, from you know, they gotta drive from Fellowship Hall to here, myself included. It's amazing. But God! Are you with me? But God is for all of our lives. But God is for every situation. Here's this amazing verse. I was reading it this morning and thinking about it. The wages of sin, we already saw those three verses, right? The wages of sin is, what's the next word? But the gift of God is what? Eternal life. Wow, thank God for the change. If we were just left with that, but the wages of sin is death. Uh-oh. I mean, whoo, we're in trouble. But the gift of God is eternal life. Here's another one. God has not given me a spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. But love, power, and a sound mind. But, see, Paul said to Timothy, listen, in your natural circumstances, you fear. It's amazing how God called him to be, through Paul, to be the pastor and to take over the ministry, and he was afraid. He had timidity. Timidity. Anybody, don't raise your hand. Ever been timid? Like a scared rabbit? I'm trying to chase, I got a fox in my yard. I live in Parkville. I don't know what a fox is doing in my yard, but I'm going to catch him. I got it all planned out how I'm going to do it. I saw his tracks in the snow today. By the way, try this sometime. If you ever have problems in your nerves or your body, walk with barefoot on the ice and snow. It sends shivers up your like. No, it's like you want to wake up quick. Oh yeah, just don't let anybody see you. They'll come and like you know jacket you and take you down. Something's wrong, but they say it's really amazing because all the nerves come down to the end of the foot, right? Isn't that how it is? I'm not a doctor. But God. Pastor Steve Merlo is going to start doing that every morning. Get him up nice and early. Call him up and say, walk in the snow. But God. And this is what Paul is saying to Timothy. Jesus said it to Peter. Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you. By the way, and you know what that thing, what that verse says in the Greek? Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded you back for himself. That's what it says. But I have prayed for you. We heard that the other night. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. But I prayed. He can say what he wants and do what he wants, but Jesus prayed. But God. But God. And this is so important in my life, because otherwise I'm reading my life and making decisions on my life on everything but God. I don't understand what's going on. But God says, build an ark. All right? There's never been rain. But God. But God's going to do something. And so in my life, maybe in my family, well, I'm having a difficult time with my husband, a woman says. Thank God for that. I said a wife says, okay? You got to be very careful what you say nowadays. But of course, I'm not, and I could care less. Somebody told me one time, be careful what you say in Canada. They can arrest you for the way you talk on the radio. You know what? I don't give a flying rip. Do what you want. I've been in jail 10 times already. One more time is not going to make a difference. But God. But God. Are you with me? Even forgot what I was talking about. Noah? Huh? Building the ark. Never rained. But God. And God comes in. Husband with a wife. But God. By the way, maybe a person is not going to change because God wants to change me. Hello? I'm praying that she would change. Really? And God says, you know what? I happen to be the potter and you're the clay. You're not going to make me the clay and you be the potter. I'm going to change you. I'm going to give you patience and unconditional love for her no matter what she's like. Imagine my wife living with me. She was saved and I wasn't. Hello? Yeah, hello. That was ridiculous. She would say to me sometimes, why do we have all these guns in the bedroom? I said, I just like them. That was the past, okay? And I just was kind of like, didn't want to have anybody sneak up on me. But God, and she was praying for me. Right? She was praying for me. And God comes in. And so how about with children? Anybody have... children, don't raise your hand and don't think about it much longer than after I have to say two words, but God. And maybe the children aren't going the way that you hoped they would go or thought they would go. Oh, I want to see my kids delivered and get it right in my house. No, they're going to the pig pen. They're going into a pig pen. And in the pig pen, they'll come to themselves. Hello? I like them to smell like pigs. That's the way God's going to do it. But God. So we can lament and, you know, family situations. How about health? Could we say but God when it comes to health? Oh, boy. Doctor told me, he looked at my brain in Johns Hopkins. He showed me on a scan. He said, look at your brain. I said, you look at it. He goes, there's nothing on this side. I said, there was never anything there. He said, you had a stroke and it knocked out everything. I said, I got enough that will outclass you any day. But God, he said to me, you ought to take up, he was a jokester. He said, you ought to take up like knitting or something because you're not going to be able to go out of the house. And then he called my wife one time about 8 months later. And she said, my husband can't talk to you because he's in Morocco. And we love doctors. We have Dr. Wanda, and we have many amazing doctors. But you know what? God, right? With Pastor Carl in India. You know what I say? I said to him this week, but God. But God. You know what? And thank you for the analysis. Thank you for how they view things. And thank you for believers that are doctors and whatnot that can have God's insight. But it always comes down to simply those two words, but God. But God, does God heal? Tonight we're going to have a healing service. God heals, but God. I don't mean just physically. A lot of times we need healing in the emotions, healing in the thinking, anxiety,
fear, insecurity, human reason. The mind is like, yeah, going a million miles an hour and going nowhere. And God says, you think you need a physical healing? There's something more I want to do. I want to give you peace. Huh? I want to take away a critical spirit. I want to take away your analysis of everything. You know, some people are amazing at analytical thinking. Well, I thought they were going to do another song. Well, how come you wore that tie? Because I wore the same shirt Wednesday night and the same coat, so my wife said, change the tie. Nobody will know. I don't care if anybody knows anyway. Huh? You wear what's hanging there. The rest of it, forget it. Wow. But God comes in. And we look at life in a way that we're just looking at, and there's analyzing, and there's kind of like looking at it and saying, yes, but how come this, not that? Or we're looking for the wrong source to make changes. Hello. I know. One party or the other will change America. No, it won't. God changes people. God changes countries. God took a country that was 95% in idolatry called South Korea, and now it's 90% Christian. And they have 190,000 missionaries from South Korea. But God.
Well, the election will do it.
No, it won't. No, it's only God. God bless America, amen? God change America, amen? Oh, how's he going to get delivered? These guys, you know how many people have pill addictions? If you're sitting here, don't just get delivered right now, you know? Pill addictions, you know? Every time something goes wrong, go to the closet, you know? Get this, get that. Got a backache? Go get this pill. Got this ache? Go get this pill. Got this problem? Go get that pill. Pill addictions, not just drug addictions that we know of and we think of, pill addictions, alcohol addictions, pornographic addictions, addictions all over the place. By the way, the biggest one is addiction to self. We don't talk about that. I rather believe in absolute crucifixion. Huh? Are you with me? Romans 6:6, the old man is crucified. Galatians 6:14, the world is crucified. Revelation 12:7 through 9, Satan has been crucified, been destroyed. All right? There goes the addictions. Look at my friend in the back with his hand up in the air. Hallelujah. Right? Listen, but God. We met a guy yesterday on evangelism, and he said, to me and Pastor Eugene, he said, thank God. He said, I wish my church was doing what your church is doing, giving the gospel out to people. I said, well, come and visit me and we'll pray for your church. And then I'll go visit your church. And there was another person that came and said, thank you for passing out literature. That's the first time I can remember where two people said thank you within the same hour. But then, of course, there was another guy. Why don't you go mind your business? We don't need this message. We don't need the gospel to change. Oh, thank you so much for your encouragement. You are making me think evolution is true. I didn't say that. I thought it. Some people actually could bring credence to something as crazy as that. Huh? So what do? You give them a banana. All right, whatever. Listen, but God. Moses is a murderer. And he not only kills a man, he digs a hole and he buries him. He's also, what do they call those guys? Just a grave digger, but isn't there another name for a sophisticated name? Funeral directors? Undertakers. There you go. Trying to take you for a ride. Guy said to me, when my mother passed, he said, this is going to cost you this much for a funeral. I said, no, it's not. I said, it doesn't cost that much for a funeral. I said, this is what I'm going to give you, and you're going to take it. He goes, yes, sir. I said, thank you. I was there with my brother, and I'm not going to go into it. But Moses digs a hole and buries him in the sand. Are you going to use him to deliver Israel? A murderer? Hello. No.
For some of, there's so many sophisticated good people. They look down on people that have fallen into drugs or maybe committed a crime. Why, you think you're any better? You think you're any better? Oh, maybe you just do something on your tax form. But you're so sophisticated and good. Such a good person. Right. Guy shovels your walk. Instead of giving him 10 bucks, you give him 6 and you rob from him. It's just another kind of theft. Hello? I'm going to use this man to deliver them. You know why? And he was so discouraged, and he had run away from God, and he was 40 years on the backside of the Sinai, but something happened one day, and he saw a burning bush. You know what that was to me? But God. God says, oh, really? It's not over. It's never. By the way, can I say something? And I will, because I have the mic. God never gives up on anybody. Say that. God never gives up on anybody. You can be the guy on the cross at the last minute and you get in with 1 second to go. Woo! But God, thief on the cross, Lord. Oh, that was amazing prayer, huh? Did he go through this whole contrition act and all that? He said, Lord, remember me. 3 words. Delivered. Why? Because of, but God. But God. It's amazing what can happen. And so Moses delivered. We see the Apostle Paul, another person who was persecuting the church. And all of a sudden the sky opened up and he says, I am Jesus whom you persecute. I'm going to show you how you're going to suffer for my name. He was transformed. Peter was a denier. What happened? What happened to Peter? But I prayed for you. Luke 22:31. And the denier became the preacher at Pentecost. But God. D.L. Moody was Mr. Angry. He was angry at everything. Angry at his kids. Angry at his wife. Angry at his church. All he done was live in anger. One day, 2 women came to him. And they said, Mr. Moody. He said, yes, you need to change. And you know what? He got converted. You know why? It was just a but God. Simply God came in and transformed. Can God transform a marriage? I don't want him to. I don't want him to. I don't want him to. Oh, can God transform a child? Can God transform? You know what? I was telling somebody today, we have 3 orphans that were ordained. They came as orphans from the Rwanda genocide, and now they're pastoring. Hello! Hello! And by the way, I'm not asking for money because I don't need any. Sometimes people like try to think that that's what you're thinking. I care less about money. I just know God does it. Amen? God does it. They're ordained. We got another 3 or 4 that are ministering on mission teams. You know why? Here they are in a genocide situation without parents, but guess what happens? The 2 words come in again, but God. But God. And transformation takes place. Change happens. I'm delivered. It's incredible. And maybe I've gone the way of murder and adultery, but all of a sudden God gives me mercy in Psalm 51, 2 Samuel 12, and I am delivered, and I'm still the king on the throne because of but God. Well, how many people would have removed David as king? Let's take a vote. Murder and adultery? You're finished. Not only did he remain on the throne, he wrote the Bible. Dear Lord is right. Can you imagine? He was a writer of the Bible. 60% of the Bible was written by 3 murderers. Moses, first 5 books. David, many books about him, Chronicles, Samuel, Kings, the Psalms, and Saul of Tarsus. Hello. What do you think you've done that God couldn't forgive? Huh? But God. And by, oh, let me put it this way. What do you think somebody else has done that but God couldn't change? I don't care if through neurotic, psychotic, whatever they may be. By the way, I ran a home for, you can't even believe the problems, you know? Can't even believe the problems, the different types of people we had. But you know what happened? 2 of them are pastoring today because of but God. But God. But God. God came in. God changed a man. God changes a woman. We had a Christian school in Massachusetts, and I think about the 11th graders. In the 11th grade was Penny Parker. Anybody know her? Huh? Huh? Yeah, you owe me. I haven't said it. I'm just having fun. And she became a missionary to China. Latasha Brown went to Africa. Jim Shermer is a pastor in Budapest. Michelle Gabral went to South America. And on it goes. I'm even missing some. Listen, what happened there? But God came in. Are you with me? Was it the best of circumstances, the best situation? Not necessarily. But it doesn't have to be that way. Evie Santiago, she went with me to Africa. And she came with a real problem. And I said, you should move into my house. Because but God can change you. God can make a difference. Amen? Are you with me? No. Well, we think it's got to be people. It's got to be this. This is got to happen. That's got to change. That needs to be renovated. We got to do this over. We got to start again. And God says, oh, really? But God. But God is coming in. I don't know. Woe is me, for I am unclean and undone, but my eyes have seen the King. And he says to Isaiah, go in Isaiah chapter 6. But God came in and transformed Isaiah's life. When Jerusalem was surrounded by 185,000 Assyrians, they were ready to be taken. Every city had been taken all the way to Jerusalem by Sennacherib and Assyria. And they said, what are we going to do? It's over for us. They were in a tremendously terrible situation. And Isaiah said, let's pray. And he prayed to God. And God wiped out 185,000 Assyrians in 1 minute with an angel on his lunch break. Go down and do something, will you? My people are in trouble. And they woke up in the morning and they looked out and there was 185,000 corpses. Whatever happened to that army? I'll tell you what happened. But God. But God. And yes, we are sinners. And yes, we are weak. And yes, we are in this world. And yes, there's an enemy. And yes, there are demon spirits. But if I concentrate on that and focus on that and make that what my life's all about and what I see, rather than but God. There's going to be tragedies. We had Pastor Carl and Pastor Clyde both lose their brother this week. They both passed this week. All I could say to them on the telephone was, but God. But we have God. And they can go home and they go home to be with the Lord. See, we think about death and we have to understand there's great sorrow and pain when that happens in somebody's life. But you know what? Imagine, but God. Imagine to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. That while we're here weeping, and rightly so, they're in heaven enjoying God. Having a great old time. But God. But God. And if I don't look at it, everything like that. Just lost my job. But God. But God. God's got a change taking place. You don't know what happened to me this week. But God. You know what's going on in our country? But God. What about the neighborhood? I met a woman. She says, I moved into the worst neighborhood in Baltimore just so I could be a testimony for Christ. I was like, Oh, really? She goes, yes, really. Really. Insecurity. Can God change it? Huh? Can God change it if I'm insecure? I told you I didn't finish 4 years as a teacher because I refused to take speech because I was afraid to talk to people. So I just quit school. I quit 4 years of college for one course. I wouldn't take speech and I said, I'm out of here. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do something else. You know what happened? But God! But God! I love Pastor Stevens. One time he said to me, even if you drool, people get blessed. I said, wow. Really? He said, yeah, even if you don't, even worry about it, you know? But God! Here they are in Maine. Three women are praying many, many years ago, and they prayed. And but God came in, raised up a man of God. That man of God started churches in Maine, moved to Massachusetts, moved to Maryland, and now we're in 80 countries with 636 churches. All I can say is, but God. But God. Are you with me? But think about it in some of these little things that face us every day. Every day we have situations. And how do we, what do we think about? Do we think about but God? We think about the situation, sight, the emotions. You're not living in reality. No, I'm living in spirituality. You live in reality. I live in the life of Christ. I live believing God. He can open up the Red Sea. Amen? Can he open up the Red Sea? He can take a plane that's upside down over the Sudan and right side up it. Thank you, Pastor Eugene, for getting me on that plane with a pilot that doesn't know up from down. Duh. But God. But God. And then I remember driving in the Sudan, and there's 9 million mines on the roads in the Sudan. 9 million. You put cows in front of you. I know if you're an animal lover, just relax. I didn't tell them to do it. They said, we got to put them there because they'll detonate the bombs before we get it. I said, that's not a bad idea. But God. But God. In our lives. Finances, family, relationships, what's going on in our life, where I'm at. You know what I can say about Bible school? But God. Right? But God. We're having Bible school starting up this January what? January 23rd. That almost didn't come out right. January 23rd. I don't know how to, I never was good at learning. Great. You're the perfect person. Because now instead of learning under pressure from the world system that brings in striving to make you pass so you're acceptable to people, you can learn by resting in Christ. Oh, there's quite a difference. Learning from God. Take a course. Take a Bible course. Give it a shot. Try it out. You say, I already went to Bible school. Go again. Go again. All right, how about this one? I already prayed. Yeah. So you prayed in 1975, so you're not going to pray anymore? You know, learn the Bible. It's fresh and new every day. But what? But God. Let's simply believe that today, okay? Simply, but God, who is rich in mercy, for the great love wherewith he loved us, by grace are we delivered. But God. So, Father, thank you today. Thank you for in Daniel in a lion's den, but God. Daniel's boys in a fire, but God. Hosea. Marry a prostitute. Are you joking? But God. But God. Ruth following Naomi, but God. Rahab the harlot delivered, but God. Ezra 9. Ezra, the call of God, but God. The church in the book of Acts, in the midst of the Roman Empire, they're praying and they're in prison. In Acts 2, 3,000 get saved, but God. Peter's delivered from prison, but God. Paul, the prison is broken up, Acts 16, but God. They come in on boards with a broken ship in a storm, but God. Thank you. So many places in the Word of God, but God. Change is going to take place starting today. Don't believe the devil's lie. The world's lie or your flesh's lie. Believe in God. Believe in Jesus. If you are here today, you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You're not a Christian because you go to church. You're not a car because you walk into a garage. You're not a Christian just because you go to church. You're not a Christian because you've been baptized. You're a Christian because you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and the Holy Spirit comes to live in you. And you are changed, but God. God does the changing. Man cannot change himself. Other men cannot change him. Religious systems cannot change anyone. Ordinance cannot change anybody, but God. So if you're on the internet or you're here in the assembly hall, simply say this. It's just saying, making a decision of the will. I want Jesus as my personal Savior. With our eyes closed, our heads bowed, if you said that prayer, Jesus, save me, three words. Jesus, save me. Just with our eyes closed, our heads bowed, put your hand up. Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. On the internet, Jesus, save me. We thank you today. Thank you. Thank you for that hand. Thank you, God. But God. But God. Jesus, save me. And if you're here today, I don't know what we're facing. Stop facing it and face God. He faces you and loves you. But God. But God. But God. A change takes place. Oh, maybe the circumstances, the situation doesn't change, but I'm changed in it. But God. Rich in mercy. Great love and delivered by grace. Wow, what an amazing three things. Rich mercy, great love, and grace deliverance. We thank you today. Bless us as we go. Bring us back tonight. We have a great time tonight in the Word. Healing, anointing with oil. We pray that you bless the baptism which is to come. In Jesus' name, amen.